From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's Artist Residency Program hosts Indigenous artists at public spaces in Southeast Alaska throughout summer. The residency, which expanded to Sitka this year, provides the artists room to create and connect with their heritage, where visitors can stop by to watch their work come together. Amira Bader is the current artist in residence at Sitka National Historical Park. Her work combines drawing, watercolor, and formline design, a traditional art style used by Indigenous peoples of the Pacific Northwest that incorporates curved lines and shapes. Sitka's flora will be her main subject.
I'm working on a foxglove painting right now. I definitely want to draw the fireweed, paint the fireweed. It's a little intimidating, though. It has a lot going on.
A lot of her work has focused on flowers from the places she's traveled over the last few years. Bader says she finds it meditative to study plants' delicate details.
The work is kind of like rooted in like grieving and memory and the cycle of life. If you can truly be present with the flower and like really look at it, you're like really getting to see something beautiful. But in the end, that like flower is totally going to die. But then after that, another flower is going to come back.
Bader is currently based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She says she's been wanting to come to Southeast Alaska for a long time because of her family's roots.
It's a gift to be able to come here and meet people and learn more about the culture and see where I fit in here. And I've learned a little bit about my family lineage already.
She says her time in Sitka has been peaceful and that this won't be her last trip here. You can visit Bader at Sitka National Historical Park through September 4th. A fungal outbreak is spreading among spruce trees in the Tongass National Forest this summer. As Coast Alaska's Angela Denning reports, the needles might be discolored, but the trees should be fine.
If you've been walking trails near the muskeg, the boggy wetlands in southeast, you might have noticed some spruce trees not looking so great. Earlier this summer, the green needles turned a bright yellow-orange. Now they're more rusty-colored. So what's the deal?
Spruce needle rust.
That's 3-year-old Eli Mulvey talking to his mom.
How do you know it's spruce needle rust?
Because I can see some orange.
On the needles?
Yeah.
Is it busting out?
Yeah.
What kind of organism makes that on the needles?
Fungus. Funguses.
Yep, you're right.
His mom would know. Robin Mulvey is a forest pathologist with the U.S. Forest Service. She recorded that conversation years ago when her son was young. But Mulvey still thinks this fungus is really cool. She says this summer's outbreak is the largest she's seen in her 15 years working in Juneau. It's even on her running shoes.
And I've washed my shoes a few times, and the bottoms of my running shoes are still bright orange. I had spores all over the windshield of my car, on my patio, and I think of it more like a big pollen year. That's kind of the level of damage, and it's just a phenomenon that we can track and enjoy.
The fungus is mostly cosmetic and doesn't hurt the trees. The infected needles will die and drop off, and next year, they'll put out new green growth. It's a natural cycle, but the cycle requires one other part, nearby Labrador tea, also known as tundra tea. Spruce is just the temporary host.
All of the spores that are being produced on Sitka spruce right now, they can't infect spruce. They have to only infect Labrador tea.
How does that even evolve?
I mean, that's a great question. And there are a lot of diseases that have this type of life cycle. This is just one. So we have another one that goes between western hemlock and blueberry leaves. We have another one on one-year-old needles of Sitka spruce that doesn't have an alternate host. It just goes from spruce to spruce.
So given the exact right environment and perfect weather, these fungal spores are produced on Labrador tea leaves in early summer. They float through the air onto new spruce shoots, which become yellow, then orange as the summer goes on. Mulvey says that's the fruiting stage of the fungus. Then the spores blow back to Labrador tea, where they overwinter on the top of the leaves, turning them purple to orange.
And, you know, most people, when they think about disease, they have a negative connotation with that. When there's disease in humans, that's a bad thing. But in the forest, these fungi are part of the ecosystem, and they're just playing their role, is just doing its thing. And so we can kind of appreciate that process.
Although the Labrador tea is infected by the fungus, it's not harmful to humans. But it's still a good idea to harvest plants without spots or discoloration. Reporting for Coast Alaska, in Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
A candlelight vigil for the loss of two 16-year-olds who died in Juneau earlier this week brought together more than 150 mourners last night. KTOO's Clarice Larson was there and brings us this story. In a note to listeners, the story mentions suicide and runs about 3 minutes long.
As the sun set on Tuesday evening, the warm glow of candles filled the outdoor basketball court at the Zantakahini School campus in Lemon Creek. More than 150 people stood around a vigil to remember 16-year-olds Leotis, also known as Leo Phillips, and Zoe, also known as Z. Clark, whose bodies were discovered Monday. The crowd was filled with family, community members, teachers, and classmates of the pair. Eli Phillips, Leo's uncle, led an opening prayer.
We are gathered here for this tragic loss of these two young ones here. It's tragic and took their lives. We don't understand why, but we got a feeling in our hearts that we got to forgive them. For whatever reason why, we got to forgive them.
Juneau police reported the two teenagers were missing Monday morning. Later that afternoon, the two were found dead in a wooded area near the Zantakahini campus. A firearm was located near their bodies, and police say it appeared the two had died from gunshot wounds. At the vigil, people shared their memories of the two teenagers. Leo was remembered as a loyal friend who always was ready to crack dad jokes. Uriah Clark, Z's cousin, said the pair loved each other.
The happiest I saw him was with her. And, you know, he, through all the things she's been through, he's been there. And that, I believe they both were hurting and that their last moments were peaceful.
Z used they-them pronouns, according to some family members at the vigil. Some family members referred to Z using she-her pronouns. Z was remembered as a happy-go-lucky kid who always stood up for others, an artist who was involved in Lego robotics and had dreams of attending culinary school.
My life's never going to be complete anymore.
That's Z's father, Zach Clark. He said he felt blindsided by Z's death.
Parents just need to love their kids harder and stronger. That's all I can say.
He described Z as a bright-spirited, loving kid who touched the lives of everyone they met.
There's still so many answers that a lot of us need, like what happened up there, if any forensics can say what happened, what truly happened.
According to police, an investigation into the pair's death is ongoing, and their bodies have been sent to the Alaska State Medical Examiner's Office in Anchorage for autopsies. Z's father thanked the community for sharing their condolences and their love for Z.
This is all I've wanted. I just wanted to see if my kid was loved by people, and her friend showing up shows me that she was loved.
If you or someone you know is in crisis, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available to call, text, or chat by dialing 988, or contact the crisis text line by texting TALK to 741-741. You can be connected with community resources by calling 211. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And the Juneau School District and community organizations are offering additional support and resources following the death of the two teenagers reported Monday evening. Superintendent Sean Arnold says the district is providing on-site crisis counseling at some schools. He says school staff are also reaching out to students they believe would be affected.
We had many of our schools, probably more than half of our schools, impacted or touched by the events that had occurred.
Arnold says he can't list the specific schools due to privacy reasons. Those schools also have quiet spaces for students that need a safe space to take breaks or process feelings. The Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska is providing counselors and behavioral specialists to support the district. The tribe is also guiding students through various talking circles to process their emotions. Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Kahle, and Yakuske Dakahedi High School have teen health centers where anyone ages 13 to 20 in Juneau can receive free physical and mental health services. Resources are also available outside of schools. JAMI Health and Wellness is providing free walk-in counseling at its JAMI family location on the following dates. Today until 5:30 p.m., Thursday, September 3rd from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m., and Friday, September 4th from 2 to 4:30 p.m. JAMI also provides ongoing 24/7 crisis support by phone at 907-463-3303. Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium offers a free 24/7 helpline to Southeast residents at 1-877-294-0074. Suicide prevention nonprofit NAMI Juno runs the website junomentalhealth.org for people looking for resources. Executive Director Aaron Surma says staff are also available to help people figure out options.
We spend a lot of time helping people navigate junomentalhealth.org because it is a giant list of therapists, among other things, and it's hard to know how to whittle that down. So we're happy to do that.
NAMI can be reached by phone at 907-463-4251. By email at namijuno@gmail.com and through its website. Caroline, Alaska provides 24/7 support for Alaskans as well. It can be reached by calling 1-877-266-4357 or by texting 494949. KTOO compiled more resources and events on ktoo.org. And taking a look at the weather in Juneau, it's currently 66 degrees and sunny over at the Juneau International Airport with a few clouds. It's expected to stay mostly clear tonight with a low around 46. And for the rest of this week going into this weekend, we've got sun in the forecast with highs in the high 60s to 70 degrees and lows in the low to mid 40s. This is KTOO. For more news, head to ktoo.org. I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in.